way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
Welcome to Drop the Pilot, the podcast dedicated to TV pilots that became nothing. I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Martin.
Today we will be discussing Super Nerds from 2000. It was created by its stars Brian Posehn and Patton Oswalt, and I assume they wrote it, but there's no actual credit.
That's always a good sign when no one's willing to take a writing credit.
Exactly. Yeah, unless it was all improvised. I doubt it. But it was directed by Troy Miller, who has directed episodes of Arrested Development and The Office American Style. And he also directed the movie Jack Frost, which is about Michael Keaton as a snowman. So, Martin, what did you think?
Hello.
Hi. How you doing? What did you think of Super Nerds?
Well, I thought it was odd that you wanted to cover it on Drop the Pilot since it ran for 10 seasons.
Spoiler alert, it did not.
Isn't this the one with Sheldon?
Yeah. You see, you went to Big Bang Theory, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know where my mind went?
The gutter?
Yeah. Well, always. No. Spaced.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was quite a bold move to start by insulting the audience.
Yes.
Because they're clearly not going to reach the Big Bang Theory audience of let's laugh at dorks. You know, it was very much these guys are, you know, well, super nerds.
Yes.
And then the first thing they say is, people who go to sci-fi conventions are fat.
Exactly. Yeah. And I found the first 3 minutes to be excruciating to watch. I hated the first 3 minutes.
I found that as well. Also the following 20.
Yes, well, there's that. But the first 3 minutes just, oh, holy shit. It was like, yeah, I'm going to curse. Fucking right I am. Like, it starts off with a scroll, right? It's a piss take of the Star Wars scroll. But it's these two guys actually just unrolling it.
We can actually have a rating scale now of our favourite joke Star Wars scrolls that we've seen in pilots for this show. Because Space Something or Other, the one with Commander Riker directing.
Yes.
They did it.
That one. I think it's called Space Patrol.
Part of me wants to say that Patton Oswalt should know better, but also I doubt he was in the, you know, stage of his career where he had that much of a say and was probably just happy to be getting some work, so I'm not going to hold it against him.
Except this isn't funny, and I do think Patton Oswalt should know better.
It's not just that it's not funny. It's the most tired nerd cliches.
Yeah.
Also, There's no fucking plot.
Nope.
Nothing happens.
Nope. Right. We meet Leslie and Gail. They have girls' names, so that's funny, I guess. And
I think that's just American, because there's someone on Breaking Bad called Gail.
Yeah.
Who everyone treats as normal.
Yeah, but treats as normal because he has a normal name. Yeah.
Leslie's a neutral name, though.
True, but they're both names that could be associated with girls. And then Sarah Silverman's character is called Gwen, and I think it might have been better if her name was one that could be associated with boys.
You're obviously giving it more for than the writers.
Exactly. If her name was like Bobby or something,
yes,
then I think that would have been better as a character thing. At least give us fucking something. All we get is these two guys, one works in the store, one hangs out at the store like clerks, and one's an absolute fucking mental case and the other one can't talk to girls. And that's basically it.
Well, neither of them can talk to girls.
Well, one can talk to girls, but he says horrible things to them and shouts at them and tries to touch them up, whereas the other one just can't get words out properly. So there's a little bit of a difference. Yeah. I just need to say one thing, though, right? Before we get past this, someone had to make that fucking scroll for this pilot that didn't, this thing that didn't get picked up. Anyway.
They probably just sent it to a poster printer.
Yeah, probably.
What do you know Patton Oswalt from? Like, what's the first thing you became aware of him from?
Probably the third Blade movie.
I think I first saw him in, if not Dollhouse, then Caprica.
So I'm in Dollhouse, but I think I saw Dollhouse after I saw Blade Trinity. So it would have been Blade Trinity first, because I saw that in the cinema.
Blade Trinity is one of those movies I've never seen, and everyone says it's terrible.
Uh-huh.
But everyone says it's terrible so much, I kind of feel compelled to watch it. Maybe one day I'll do it in a double bill with Batman and Robin.
You've never seen Batman and Robin?
No, everyone said it was terrible.
But why don't you watch it and make your own opinion of it?
Not that fussed about 90s Batman. I was going to see it in a cinema on a ferry, but they were showing a Fifth Element instead, which was a bit lucky because that film's great.
I don't like Fifth Element. But then again, I don't like Batman and Robin either, so it's not as long, you know, picking one over the other. Yeah, sorry, I'm outing myself. I'm not a fan of the Fifth Element. I apologise. Blame Chris Tucker. Right.
But Jimmy.
Yes, Mark.
The Fifth Element is love.
Yes. That is true. Multipass and all that nonsense. But I still... I don't know. I just couldn't click with that... I just couldn't click with that movie at all. I just didn't like it.
It's got Lee Evans in.
It does.
Why?
It...
No one fucking knows.
Lee Evans was in a few movies in America in the 90s. He was in Mouse Hunt. He was in There's Something About Mary. Probably another one or two. He was in there.
None of that makes any sense. Did you recognise the other guy?
I've seen him in things. He's kind of like that guy in comedy stuff.
I didn't recognise him, but I looked him up, and he's the co-creator of Meow Meow Beans.
Okay.
Community.
Right. What, he co-created Community?
No. He's in an episode of Community playing one of the creators of Meow Meow Beans.
Right. Okay. You know I haven't seen Community, Mark.
Oh, yeah, you have.
No, I haven't. We've discussed this. I've seen...
It's
like,
very good.
I've seen the first two episodes, I think, of Community. Well, it's on Amazon Prime UK, so I'm going to give it a shot.
He was also in a load of Big Bang Theory episodes, so that worked out.
All right. Well, yeah, that's true, he is. And Sarah Silverman, I think I first saw her in School of Rock.
I first saw her in Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, was she in that?
Yeah, there's this episode where they go back to... the mid-90s, and she's working at an observatory. Then they get a hollow emitter for the Doctor or something, and and Ed Bagley Jr. is a time-travelling wanker.
All right.
As far as Star Trek Voyager episodes go, it's actually one of the better ones.
What, does he just, like, travel around through time and jerk off?
No, he steals a spaceship from the future and uses it to invent PCs.
Right, okay.
And they try to be like, oh yeah, we're actually in the alternate timeline where time travellers invented personal computers. And then that didn't really make any sense, so it never mentioned it again.
Right, like much of Voyager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, they talk about conventions and how people are really fat at conventions, and that's funny. Fat jokes are funny. From two not exactly skinny men. We meet Leslie's boss. He comes in to take a comic with him to use the toilet. He's just a comedy foreigner.
You know what?
Yeah.
I thought he was the funniest person in the episode and was the only one to make me laugh.
Because he's a comedy foreigner. Funny accents usually do that.
There was one line that tickled me.
Right.
When he said, maybe I got bitten by radio-controlled business bug.
Right, okay.
Because that makes absolutely no sense in a way that people think like that think.
Yeah, that's not a bad joke.
I do find it quite funny as well that all the references that would be really obscure at the time, like Green Lantern and what have you. And like even, I mean, you might have had a trailer for Spider-Man when this came out. You know, it's all now quite well known because even the more obscure ones have had their own movies.
Yeah, exactly. A hot woman comes in. Leslie's not good at talking to women, and Gail is creepy. We get flashbacks of the nerds talking about comics while getting beaten up by bullies, and the woman has left while Gail was talking. Because, you know, he's creepy. And he touches her as well, which is inappropriate.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, particularly a fan of how women were represented in this. Like,
no.
I'm not usually one to be like, that's something that I, you know, make or break my enthusiasm for a program on, but even I was like, oh, come on. There's no actual female characters in this, they're just, you know,
hot women.
Yeah.
And they're referred to as such. Yeah, so the two nerds insult each other, and then Sarah Silverman enters. The comedy foreigner starts to ramble about what he'd do if he had Spider-Man's powers, and then he leaves. The nerds talk to Sarah Silverman, who says her name is Gwen, and she went to school with them. There's one line here, the one line that I kind of sort of, not chuckled at, but kind of smiled at, and then was angry at myself for smiling at it, is when Sarah Silverman says, "You don't recognise me," and Gail says, "You're not a former gentleman, are you?" And I kind of smiled at that.
I think the joke is all their friends are men.
Yes, exactly. But he's asking her if she used to be a man. Yeah. What happens is, throughout this pilot, is that someone will say something that might be, that could be construed as humorous, and then the follow-up line is nothing. Like, there, when he says, "You're not a former gentleman, are you?" Patton Oswalt says, "Oh, Gail, that's some good awkward," which is not funny.
Well, it also doesn't make any sense because the previous runtime had all been some good awkward.
Yeah, so we get a flashback to school when Gwen wanted to join their D&D club, but only Leslie voted yes. Gail says that if he knew that she was going to grow up hot, that he would have also voted yes. Which is kind of awkward.
Yeah.
I hated his fucking character. I hated him, Martin.
I hated the other characters too.
I didn't hate Patton that much. I didn't hate Sarah Silverman, although calling her a character is quite generous.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate Patton as much.
I mean, to be fair to Sarah Silverman's character, all we know is that she likes indie comics, so yeah, she's kind of cool.
Yeah. And she has a crush on Patton Oswalt's character.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we know. Yeah, so she buys a comic and leaves. Gail mocks Leslie for not being able to talk to women. And here's another thing where it's like there's no witty comeback. It's just employees only behind the counter. And it's like, come on.
Was that not a witty comeback?
Employees only behind the counter. No, because he's standing behind the counter and he's not an employee. So it's just a statement of fact.
But he thought it was a witty comeback.
No, he didn't. He just said it because he was frustrated at him. He doesn't say it as a witty comeback. He says it as, oh, just get out of here kind of thing. I have to question their choice of having an audience. The audience isn't there, but you can tell by the laughter that it is actually an audience, so it's one of those where the audience must have watched it afterwards.
Yeah.
Probably during a day of watching other Comedy Central pilots that didn't get picked up. And I just question that, why did they have that? Because there's the audience, a lot of it's just like nervous laughter and just like, should we be laughing at this part? And then a couple of woos. Someone woos when fucking Leslie is drinking a Slurpee.
They did, I noticed that.
It's like, okay, yay, he's hydrating himself, woo.
I thought it was strange just how episodic it was. Like,
right.
One scene doesn't lead to the next. It's like, instead of, and so, it's, and then.
It feels like some internet shorts. Just, you know, just short sketches or something that have been on the internet once a week or something, and then it's just been put together. It's like a sketch show. Just seems it's just about the same characters.
Yeah.
A member of Leslie's D&D group comes in to sell them Kirk and Picard bookends, which I want. Wouldn't you like them? Come on now.
No, not really.
Why not?
Oh, it just felt like the most tired thing for geeks to want.
Yeah, but I want them. So it worked on me. I want them. They would prop up some of my Blu-rays.
That's true.
So the nerds bid, and Leslie gets the... Eleron, I said Leslie when it should have been Gail, but it doesn't matter, who gives a fuck. Anyway, the nerds bid, and Leslie gets the Kirk one. There's one insult, they throw out insults to, I thought it was supposed to be each other, but they're both looking at the D&D guy. So I'm assuming they're calling him names. And Patton calls him a Jar Jar loving butt nut, which I think was the best insult.
Yeah, that was an insult.
Yeah, well, it was the best one out of the rest of them. That I can't remember, but I can remember Jar Jar loving butt nut. The boss comes in and wins the Picard one, but he's got no clue what it is. He just wants to sell it on in the store. Gail is angry that Gwen clearly likes Leslie and not him, and he smashes the Picard bookend in a rage. I'm assuming it's supposed to have been by accident, but he does slam it down really hard and smashes it.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to like Gail?
I think they'd want you to.
Right. If you want your audience to like a character, shouldn't the character be likable and not a raging man baby?
No, but, you know, nerds aren't real people. They're just infantile children, men who can't control their emotions, and that's funny.
But then that's another thing, though. These two guys in real life are nerds. Why are you painting these guys like this when you know that's not what they are?
Because it's 20 years ago and there was no room in television for nuanced characterization outside of a 6-week 9 p.m. slot on Channel 4.
But wouldn't you think that this would have been a good opportunity for them to turn that on its head? I mean, it's not getting picked up anyway.
I mean, I find this offensive to its very core. So I'm a bit confused as to why I'm not saying anything other than absolutely I entirely agree. However, from a writing standpoint, I would suggest short of nuanced characters who, whilst enjoy pop culture, also have a fully rounded social life, what the pilot is missing is a straight man.
But isn't that supposed to be Sarah Silverman?
Who's hardly in it.
Exactly.
But, you know, you need someone going, oh, you guys, you know. It needs Jen from the IT crowd.
It does. It needs a Jen. Sarah Silverman should have been the Jen. And she may have been later on. They may have actually given her something to fucking do later on instead of just turning up to this shop for no reason. She comes back after getting shouted at.
Also, from a pilot point of view, this hasn't got, any sort of story engine.
No.
You know, like, what drives plot each week? There's nothing, you know, the comic shop isn't situated on a hellmouth or by a wormhole, or it doesn't have a warp drive to take it somewhere new each week. There's nothing to drive story.
But that can work, though. Like, if you look at Cheers.
It can work.
Yes, because of the characters. Whereas here, we've just got a crying, enraged man-baby and his portly sidekick. And that's all it is, basically. Sarah Silverman could have been the new employee.
Or just, like, you know, another regular.
Yeah, I know. But to have her in the store the entire time, a new employee, and Leslie training her, and Gail just hanging about because that's what Gail does, then that would have given, A, her something to do, and B, a reason for her to actually be there, rather than just turn up.
Like, the whole love triangle angle.
it's not really a love triangle. Love triangle sort of implies that it's like a three-way sort of... It's just two guys who like one girl, but the girl only likes and specifically says she only likes one of the guys. It's not really a triangle.
Yeah, Twilight got like 12 films out of that.
Yeah, it's more like a love line. Gwen returns and a jealous Gale yells at her for getting comic books wrong. She says something about a character from DC and a character from Marvel teaming up, and
although to be fair, that's the probably the most accurate depiction of comic books in the episode.
Yeah, probably, but it has happened. DC and Marvel have teamed up.
Yeah, that was his point, was that when it happens, it's rubbish.
Okay, I can't actually disagree with that. I have read Marvel meets DC or whatever the fuck it was called, and yeah, no, they're garbage. He tells her that Leslie will never go out with him when Leslie's not there. Never go out with her. Well, actually, he probably does love Leslie. So she leaves and... Oh, was a Star Trek parody in there somewhere?
Yeah, they do this weird sort of... we're going back home and you're an alien and we won't take you because you don't know what love is.
Yeah.
I did think that the costumes looked somewhat like Stargate Atlantis.
Oh, did they?
Vaguely.
Oh, yeah, and there's a bit about the boss and the Picard bookend. He wants $50 off of Gale to never come back to the store. And he gives him the $50 and just doesn't leave the store. So, there you go. That's it. Hilarious. It's not. It's a big pile of garbage.
Yeah, it was pretty damn irredeemable. There was nothing much going for it at all.
No. It's a series of sketches, unfunny sketches.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, listeners. We were supposed to be doing an episode called Stick Around, a pilot called Stick Around, which stars Andy Kaufman. And it was made in 1977. And Andy Kaufman plays a robot in the year 2055. And the couple who own him are arguing over whether to get rid of him or not, because it keeps messing up. And I messaged Martin and said, Martin, I can't do this. This is really bad. Now, I feel as though maybe we would have had more to talk about with Stick Around.
I want to do the Questa tapes.
Yeah, but the last time we did this, you said you wanted to do a sitcom next, Martin.
Oh, yeah, I thought it would be quick. What I didn't realise is that when I put it on, time slowed to a snail's pace, despite me telling YouTube to play it at double speed.
Yeah. So, Martin, what did you think of Stick Around?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you
told me to watch
it?
This one.
I thought you'd watched it.
No.
Oh, Martin. Anyway, my point is, the thing with Stick Around is the people who wrote it didn't really write any jokes in it. They just thought, we've got Andy Kaufman here, he's a rising star, the next year he's going to be in Taxi, playing exactly the same character, exactly the same voice, and he's going to be a megastar on TV. Great, okay? Then, what they did was just basically point a camera at Andy Kaufman and just told him to say things in a funny accent. I don't think they felt the need to write any actual jokes. Now, watching Super Nerds, I think that that's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
They just thought, we don't need to write any jokes because these two guys can carry this and be funny with whatever is written down. And it's simply not true.
No.
So there. That's what Stick Around and Super Nerds have in common. Although, the two guys who wrote this are probably the same two guys that are in it. Which is baffling to me, how this came about. How this is just not funny at all.
Like, I think anything before internet culture really took off, anyone who liked comics or video games or movies or anything that wasn't sports, you know, had to be portrayed in this way as a social defect. And, I don't think that a mainstream network would have, you know, greenlit something like Community at that point, which just shows people being normal. So I'm not going to hold that against it, which is frankly far too generous of me.
That is.
But what I would say is the premise fundamentally doesn't work, because you've got, like, the characters don't appeal to the sort of people they're supposed to be representing, because they're constantly insulting them, both as caricatures and literally saying that people who are interested in sci-fi are all just fat losers. Mm-hmm. It's far too in-jokey to appeal to people who want to watch jokes about people liking sci-fi being fat losers, because they don't know what a Green Lantern is.
Yeah, exactly. There's no real broad appeal here. At the time, anyway, 2000.
You look at the IT crowd, which, whilst it does, make jokes about geek culture, it also is quite, it still portrays them as people who go out and can talk to girls and, don't just live in their mother's basement, whilst at the same time finding humour in that concept. Or you look at Big Bang Theory, which doesn't understand geek culture and does portray them as socially retarded, but mm-hmm. has counterweight characters who can be the audience surrogates to make it appeal to, a mainstream audience, rather than trying to appeal to an actual geek audience.
Yeah. How does Spaced fall into that?
Well, Spaced just, is an accurate portrayal and doesn't really stop to think about, anything beyond that.
Yeah. The thing about the IT crowd is that the geek culture part isn't essential.
The thing about, the same with Spaced, it's like you take away everything and you realise, wait, they're making loads of movie references and there's an episode where they watch Star Wars and stuff, but that's all in the background and that's only one part of their personality, and that's kind of like people I know who also go to sci-fi conventions.
No, that's true, but Spaced is more reliant on it than, say, the IT crowd. It's more, there's more movie references and there's like some hidden in there that you might not actually get right away.
It is and it isn't. But then again, you've got Tim who sort of drives that and Daisy who doesn't.
Yeah. But there's like 100 movie references in every episode that's based.
Yeah, but they're not necessarily coming from the characters.
This is true. But I do think they're essential to what makes Spaced good. Whereas the IT crowd, you can take away the geek culture stuff and it's just about these really awkward men who work in a basement.
Yes.
I'm not saying that Spaced isn't character driven, it absolutely is.
But then the IT crowd, they fix computers.
Yeah.
It's kind of a linchpin.
Yeah. True, but there's no like loads of movie references in the IT crowd, is what my point is. Whereas here there's loads, and Super Nerds, remember we're talking about that.
What's that?
Yeah, Super Nerds.
Oh, I watched that once, it was awful.
It really is, it's shit. But that does rely on geek culture to make quote unquote jokes. But, well, to make jokes about, rather than make jokes of. Or is that the other way around? Doesn't matter. It doesn't like geek culture, this pilot. And that surprises me considering who the two creators are.
Yeah. It's just infuriating, really. It's like, if these guys didn't like comic books and movies and instead, liked having relationships with other men and worked in a gay bar, then none of these jokes would be acceptable.
Right.
Although in 2000, yeah, they probably would be.
Yeah, possibly. But you also have to remember, earlier on you said like a network sort of show. This was Comedy Central. This was a cable show. So there was the possibility of them doing something different than what, say, was getting done on NBC or ABC or any others, or Fox.
Actually, I tell you what would be a great example of what this could have been that came out several years later.
Mm-hmm.
The Guild.
Right, yeah. The internet show.
By Felicia Day.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's about geeks who play a video game,
mm-hmm.
and they're portrayed as, you know, in some ways being socially awkward, and in other ways being relatable, rounded characters.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, that understands the subculture and can poke at it affectionately, whereas this just feels more mean-spirited.
Exactly. And Felicia Day is an old nerd.
Yeah. And she did MSTK 3000 with Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. It all comes full circle.
Also, I'd say they could have looked at Clerks, because, again, that hit several similar notes. And
maybe they did look at Clerks. Maybe Clerks was a partly a basis for this, and they just didn't do it right.
Yeah, maybe. It's, I don't know. Like, I love it when we find a pilot which is a noble failure, a swing and a miss, you know, which tried something and it really didn't work, and it didn't work spectacularly. And this is just...
not that.
Like, I have literally seen student films with exactly the same plot done better.
Have you?
Yes.
There you go.
I mean, I also love it when we find great trailers and we just go, why the hell didn't they go with that? But that's not happened yet.
Pilots.
Yes.
Yes. We wanted to watch this because Patton Oswalt was in it. And he failed us. Patton, you failed us. But you also failed yourself.
Patton, I'm not disappointed. I'm just angry.
Yes. That's all we have time for. I'd like to thank Martin for joining me once again. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to follow the podcast on Twitter and Facebook, it's at DropThePilotPod. Send us an email, droppthepilotpod@gmail.com. Leave us some comments and likes and stuff, whenever you do that sort of thing. That'd be lovely. Just, you know, say hello. Or even if you get any suggestions of any pilots, maybe, that I can't find anywhere and you know where you can find them, because I'm sure there's still loads on YouTube that I can't bloody find.
If your pilot didn't get picked up and you want us to watch it,
yeah,
and be as kind to it as we were to this one,
yes,
then let us know.
Yes, but at least we will be honest. You can't understand what we're saying, but we're honest about it. So, I'd like to thank you all for listening, and I'll see you all next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Superman, Iron Man, Shorts, and Bullman, Aquaman, Sandman, Hawkman, Ant-Man, Giant Man, Machine Man, Spider-Woman, Superwoman, Wonder Woman, Wolverine, Swamp Thing, The Thing, Green Arrow, Green Goblin, Black Widow, Black Adam, Black Man, the Dark Side, Nightcrawler, Moon Knight, Abomination.